Right, if you have your Bible, just let's pray over your Bible for a moment. Okay, hold your Bible in your hand. And let's declare what the Word of God says, that this Word of God is sharper than to any edged sword. All right, just pray a blessing. Just say, Father, we bless the Word of God today. The Word is going to be sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the soul and the spirit. We ask for wisdom. We ask for clarity. We ask for teaching to come. We ask for the Holy Spirit to lead us into whole truth. Amen. All right. Okay. I'm going to carry on from where we left from last week. Not last week. The last time I talked. Last time we were talking about faith. How do you remember we talked about faith? Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Faith is a thing that, the only thing that can please God. Nothing else will do. Right? And even whatever we do by faith. And the scripture says that the righteous shall live by faith. We talk about faith. And I just want to let you know, this message today, I was up 2:30 in the morning. Wake up and couldn't fall asleep. And you know when your spirit is alive, you try to go back to bed and you couldn't go to bed. And this is what I feel the Lord is saying this morning. Said that, let me put it this way. That I'm not going to give every single detail to you guys. I'm going to start something today. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, God is going to finish it today. What you're going to hear, you need to hear it with an ear, also hearing what the voice of God, what God is saying. If you're going to expect everything that I say is going to make sense, in a way, it's not going to happen today. There are going to be spiritual truth, it's going to be spiritual treasure that you need to spend time to dig into it. You understand what I'm saying? I also felt like this message can be strong for some of you, but for some it's going to be easy, okay, not a big deal, easy message, but for some it's going to be a little bit challenge. Let me tell you why. If the atmosphere around your life, let's say your emotion, your soulless realm is stronger than your spiritual realm, and your emotional realm has a lot of negative influence, that message will probably not fit. You know, you're probably going to have a bit challenged to hear this message this morning. But if your spiritual ear is louder, stronger than your situation, than your emotional realm, then it's going to be okay for you. Now, before I say this, I realize you don't want to go some witch hunting after the message. That's not what the purpose of this message is about. What I mean is that you're going to go and chase after every negative thing that happened during the week, during last year, during the last month. That's not what I mean. This message is going to help you to hear what God is saying. It's more like hear what the Holy Spirit wants to add to it instead of you emotionally go up and down the roller coaster. I just want to let you know that before we go into this word, all right? You will understand what I'm saying, all right? Okay? All right, so I want you to hear this with an ear of faith. You come here, we expect something, and God's going to deliver this morning. We're going to have a time of ministry as well. Okay, turn with me to your, in Matthew chapter 9. We won't be able to go back to where we left from faith, but I just want to carry on from where we left. Matthew chapter 9. Let's read from verse 1. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some man brought him a paralytic lying on the mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, son. Your sin are forgiven. Now, I want you to be able to picture this. Try to have your imagination. See the scenario, you know, see this as a movie happening in front of you, right? Jesus in the boat. And they bring people to him on the mat. And Jesus saw their faith. And Jesus said to this paralyzed man, he said, take heart, son, your sin are forgiven. At this, some of the teachers of the law say to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? I want you to realize where the evil thoughts come from. It's come from the heart. And when you say this, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up, pick up your mat and walk. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to, on earth to give, forgive sin. Now, this is a very powerful statement. That Jesus, the Son of Man, has authority on earth to forgive sin. Sin, normally, what they used to believe, like when you die, you go to heaven, then something's going to happen. But what Jesus is saying, why you alive on the earth? Because they were expecting for the resurrection. Then they'll be in a new body, in another body, a new flesh, a new thing. And God's like, all the sins been dealt with. But Jesus is now, he's going fast forward. He's pressing thing further. Earlier than what's supposed to take place, he said, let me tell you this. Right now, on this earth, in this place, that God can forgive sin on earth. And this is a totally new thing, because the Pharisees, when they heard this, they said, how can this happen? This is a blasphemy. No one can have authority to forgive sin. And you find out the next chapter, we're going to read it later, that Jesus himself, he gave the disciples authority to what? To forgive other people's sin. This is what I feel like God can do in our midst. Not only he heal us, but he gave us authority to forgive other people's sin. Now, you probably say, oh my God. Is that the word of God? Yes, it is the word of God. Right? Now, I want you to also to understand a couple of things here. Then we're going to look at different scenarios, different testimonies in the Bible. Every time when Jesus said, pick up your mat and walk, we're going to look at different places. But think about this man who was paralyzed. How many of you have prayed for somebody who is sick before? How many tell the person your sin are forgiven when you pray for a sick person? You don't do that, right? You say, be healed. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus said, your sin are forgiven. So in other words, what it means is like sin and disease and sickness, they're in the same thing. When somebody's sick, when somebody is paralyzed, somebody's in a bad place because there's sin. And when sin is separated from the person's life, when it's been forgiven, healing takes place. Literally, that person got healed. Now, your mind is probably thinking about someone who's crippled, paralyzed, this kind of thing. But actually, sin don't only cripple somebody's life physically. It can cripple people mentally, emotionally, financially, with relation with one another. Sin literally put people into bondage. Business can be bondage when there's sin in the business. Financial can be in bondage, can be sick, and not fulfill its purpose. When you put $20 in your pocket, it's only fulfilled $5. It's not healthy because there's sin in the finance. Life, if life has not, is not going to fulfill its destiny, because there's sin in the person's life, and that life cannot be fulfilled. It's not just being sick and paralyzed. I want you to know this. Right? I'm going to show you in the scriptures what I'm talking about. This is the thing. I don't just tell you something. I'm going to prove to you. I'm going to show you what I'm saying by the word of God. And this is what I always like to hear when somebody come and preach and they say something from the pulpit and they say, I'm going to send you the list. I'm going to do this. And then never send the list and never say, now you left halfway. You're wondering, what do we believe here? But we need to be careful when we say things and we have to make sure that we can point it out from the word of God as well. You understand that? Okay? Now, if we're going to look at the word of God, I want you to understand, I don't want anybody to feel offended on this topic. Because I realize some people can be offended. The purpose of that is not to have anybody to be offended. I want you to have your eyes open and I want you to see the reality of your life, really of my life and what God is saying in his word. And if you're going to be offended, that's not what we want today. Like I say, this message, it's not, most people will be okay, but if one or two, I just want you to know, don't want you to get offended this morning. We want to help. We want to pray for one another. Okay? Right? Now, evil, like we say, evil thoughts come from where? It comes from the hearts. Like sin comes from the hearts. It came to the thoughts, and then from the thoughts, your thoughts become action, and action become habits. Why you used to do something? Well, where did it come from? It comes from your thoughts, from your mind. And where did it come from, the thoughts? It's come from your heart. Out of the bend of the heart, the mouth speak, and the body respond. All right? Okay. And when Jesus asked this question, so which one is easier to say, pick up your mat and walk, or your sin are forgiven? And I realized, I ministered to these many places, different nations, different countries, different church denomination, and I have people who struggle on that part. I have people who say, I believe that Jesus forgave me of my sin. But when I say, do you believe that Jesus can heal you? This is where struggle comes from. I'm not sure. Right? I'm not really sure that God wants to heal me. Do you believe God wants to forgive your sin? Oh, yes. No problem. Guarantee. God can heal, can forgive me and set me from all my sin. Do you believe God can heal you from all your sickness and all your disease? And this is a problem here. People find out, I'm not sure. I'm still guessing. Maybe. I don't know. And they're being honest with me. I do understand that. And I realize there's something that the word of God has not been taught properly. Because tell me something. Which one is easier for Jesus to do? Why? Because according to how we see, how we understand, according to our faith. If the church has only been taught about forgiveness of sin and go to heaven, and they're not really taught about healing, go to heaven, then most of the time, 85% of the church, people will understand forgiveness of sin, and that's it. But Jesus don't only that. You see, if Jesus, the Bible said, by his stripe we are healed, then on the day of the crucifixion, why did Jesus have to get whipped 39 times and then go to the cross? Can't he easier, like if the Father would say, Son, if that's it, just go to the cross, die, come back 3 days later, and forgiveness of sin happened. But that just didn't happen like this. So what are we doing? We only pick and choose what we want to hear, what we want to believe. But we can't do that. We have to take the whole work and the ministry of Jesus into consideration. You understand what I'm saying? Now, if I ask you the question, how many of you believe your sin is forgiven? You put your hands up. How many know that your name is written in the book of life? How do you know that? It's what? Think about it. Because something in your heart speaks louder, right? It's in you. If I tell you, no, you're not going to heaven. I'm just kidding, okay? Just as an example. If I say, no, you're not going to go to heaven, are you going to believe me or are you going to believe what your heart say? You believe what your heart say because you've been taught well. How many believe that Jesus is alive? Right. Now, how do you know that? Did you see him? Have you touched him? How do you know that? Okay. The same way you know these things, your name is written, you have salvation, you have eternal life, you're going to go to heaven. There's no doubt. Remember, there's no doubt, right? Anybody has doubt? Everybody sure? The same way you know this, but the same way you know you're healed. And the healing is not just physical body. It's not about cancer or sickness and disease. It's healing also in every area of your life because God cares for everything in your life. God cares for your work. Believe me or not, He cares for your business. He cares for your finance. He cares for your relationship in your life. He cares for your emotion. He cares if you don't sleep. Jesus cares. And this is a question most people really have some doubt if Jesus really cared about my finance. Did he really want me to succeed? Did he really want me to fulfill my destiny? Did he really want to see things happening? Yes, he does. Jesus said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. Right? He don't want us to be stuck. He don't want us to be bound. Basically, let me say this. In certain countries and places where every morning they will just bring paralytic, crippled people, bring them to the marketplace, especially at the entrance of the temple or synagogue or any other places, and they will put a mat on the floor and then their friend or relatives or whatever will left them there a whole day and then come pick them up later at the end of the day. And what these paralytic people is going to do the whole day, they're going to beg. Right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? And they're going to be sitting on this mat a whole day, basically begging. You know what the mat represents? For you and I, it represents literally our circumstances in life. How much are we limited in what we can do, what we cannot do? A paralytic is going to be sitting on this mat and he cannot do it. And Jesus came and said, you know what? Pick up your circumstances and walk. You go and change it. Leave it now. All of us have circumstances in our life. Job circumstances, family, marriage, work, business, finance, children, all this kind of thing. We have a circumstance sometimes, and Jesus come and look at it and say, like, God, I want to see this business move. I want to see this happen. I want to get married, God. I want to do this, and I want my children to do this. There's circumstances that we're bound to, and Jesus want to come and set us free from those circumstances. Spiritually, some people are paralyzed. They want to do something for God, but couldn't do anything for God. Do you want to serve God? Do you love God? Oh, yes, I do love God, but what are you doing? I'm just waiting. Basically, we're just sitting on the mat again. Waiting for another year. Waiting for another 2 years. But God don't want that. Okay? So, the question to you is this. Which one is easier for you to believe? Your sin are forgiven or pick up your mat and walk? Your situation today can be changed. And God healed this man, this paralytic man who was crippled, couldn't walk, couldn't do much. And God just healed him up and he walked. Okay? Turn to me to Mark chapter 2. Just hang in there for a moment, okay? I know some of you start to reflecting about your life, what happened this year, what happened during the week, all this kind of thing. Just hang in there for a moment, okay? Don't let your thought travel in the distance, all right? I understand God, if God's speaking to you, it's good. I love it. He spoke to me as well, but just hang in here, okay? Mark chapter 2, okay? Let's read from verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home, because this is a place we call the hometown of Jesus. So many gathered there, there was no room left, not even outside the door. And they believe that Jesus was in Peter's house. Peter's house is literally in the middle of Capernaum, and Peter probably had the biggest house. And literally, if you go today, it's a big round circle. And we could probably put about maybe 30, 40 people inside this house. If we squeeze, maybe 50. So just to give you an idea how many people can be inside. And Jesus preached the word to them. And some men came and bring him a paralytic carried by four of them. Now, I want you to see this. These scriptures would now give you a little bit more picture to this. Now, four men carry this paralytic, right? Since he could not get to him, Jesus, because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lower the mat, the paralyzed man was lying on. Verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, you remember what we talked before about faith? Now, every time Jesus see faith in action, something happened. There's going to be forgiveness of sin. You have faith to believe that Jesus died for you, raised from the dead, and there's a forgiveness of sin. That's why you know how you got salvation. So every time when God see faith, when Jesus see faith, something's about to happen. You want your situation to change. It's the same principle. You need to have faith and believe. Then the situation will be changed. You can jump. And how many have tried to say, you know what? I'm going to be a Christian today. And you do a weird thing. You shout. You go and build somebody's house. And you're believing by doing this kind of thing you get salvation. How many know this is not going to happen? It's not by work. It's by faith. Same thing. I mean, you can have a business and you can try to do everything you want. You can have a family relationship. You can have job circumstances. You can do anything you want. And yet God is moved by faith. That's the only thing that moved God. Let me tell you a little story. Several years ago, I was working for a Japanese company here in Toronto, and going to 6 to 7 years, and I felt the Lord's, and I felt like the Lord's have a call on my life, and I know all the time there's a call, and I feel like the time is coming soon for me to start moving on into this calling, and if especially if you graduate from a Japanese company, I'm not Japanese by the way, for those who are wondering what, okay. Konnichiwa. No, okay. I'm not Japanese, right? I'm an African, actually. Yeah, that's true. And I feel the Lord say to me, time's coming soon. I thought, man, I work hard. I was working 60 to 85 hours a week just to get where I am, right? And then I make this, it is a dangerous prayer. I said, God, if you don't want me here, you kicked me out. And I realized at the time, Amy was still a little baby. We bought a home. and we have mortgage, we have bill to pay, and this kind of thing. And you make a prayer like this. It's not the, and but it was like by faith. God, if you want me out of here, and I was one of the most hard worker they have ever hired in their company. Never complain about anything. Always submitted into what they say and do. And working for Japanese people is not the easiest people to work for. They don't have a life. They eat, work, sleep, sleep, eat, work, sleep, work, that kind of thing. Right? And one day they want me to have a bath with all the Japanese people. I say, no, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, you don't want to do that. That's when you've been accepted among the Japanese culture. And for them, it's an honor to be invited, right? But I say, no, thank you. And I remember after I made this prayer, 2 weeks later, I was out of that place. It sounded like crazy. If you have a business, that's the only thing that sustain your salary and all this kind of thing. And you're out of that, you're wondering, like, you're pulling your hair off. But it was a time when trusting faith come and everything. And I spent time with the Lord at home. Alex was working downtown Toronto, looking after two companies, managing two business companies. And I was, like, waiting for God. And one day the Lord spoke to me, said, she's going to get a raise. I said to Alexandra, God said you're going to get a raise. And he said, we're in the middle of a recession right now. There's not job. There's like, we've been like, there's blank paper on our desk and all this kind of thing. And nobody's getting a raise. I said, well, you choose what you want to believe. You can look at your circumstances right now, sit on your mat, or let God change it. I said, you're going to get a raise. God told me you're going to get a raise. And guess what? 3 days later, the boss came and talked to her. She got a raise. Nobody else got a raise. She was the only one who got a raise. And she was like amazed, like, oh, you know, great, wonderful. Now I'm her best friend right now, right? When everything comes, right? 3 months later, that's around September, October. God spoke to me again. She's going to get another raise. I told her, I said, Alex, God has told me you're going to get another raise. Like, he said, what? Nobody got a raise for 2 years. I just got a raise two to three months ago. Now you told me if you're going to give me another raise. I said, yeah, that's what God told me. Choose what you want to choose again. You can sit on the mat and keep doing what you want, or you can change your circumstances. This is literally what I told her. Now, what are the challenges to believe and not to believe? Come from the heart as well. Your heart makes choices, make decisions for you. And today, your very situation, God can change it if you want to change your heart. And guess what? 2 weeks later, the boss came to her and said, I have to give you another raise. And she was the only one who got another raise. By the time we get September, God spoke to me again. And I say to her, guess what? She said, don't tell me now. I said, it's up to you. You want it or you don't want it? Yeah, want it. What your challenge? You know what I'm saying? You can fight with it or you can trust God. And I said, well, God told me you're going to get the biggest bonus. And she was really struggling at the time because nobody else got anything. And her bonus was over $10,000. That's just one of them. And she got about four or five of them. And now I'm sitting at home. I'm thinking, man, God, if I have to go to work, this is probably exactly what I was going to make. And God just multiplied, and that was the favor of God. But you see, faith in action. Right? And the miracle is this. Within three and a half years, we bought the house. We have basically, Alexander and I can tell you, we come to Canada, she have no money to pay her TTC fare. She have to borrow money from her sister to go to work for the first week, waiting for the first paycheck. We come here and we bought the first house, and God start moving by faith, within 3.5 years later, we pay our whole house mortgage was paid and done. It's normally 25 years, but 3.5 years later, it was clear. Done deal. How it happened, I can't explain it. It's just miracle and miracle and miracle and miracle and miracle and miracle and miracle. Right? And if God can do that for me, He can do it for you. Pick up your mat and walk. When I heard people who had mortgage over 15 years, I thought to myself, man, no. And then verse 25, I said, no way. And then I thought, no, come on. God don't want you to do it. He wants you to be blessed. And, God wants to change us, our life. He wants to bless us. But we need to change our heart. Are you with me? Mark chapter 2. Okay. Four people now carry this paralytic. They open the roof. And Jesus saw their faith again. After they opened up the roof, they lowered the mat. The paralyzed man was lying on verse 5. Jesus saw their faith. He said to the paralytic, son, your sin are forgiven. Again, he looked at another paralyzed person. He didn't say, be healed. Walk in Jesus' name. No, he don't do that because he's Jesus, right? But we do that. Are we exactly right with how the Word of God aligned it? No. So what do we do? When we see faith arise, what do? We release forgiveness to people. Rise up and walk. Your sin now forgiven because of the faith in action. Every time when faith comes into place, when you do something, you hear God speak to you, your heart changes, you respond to God's, the Holy Spirit. There's a forgiveness take place. Faith is in action and something happened. Right? Verse 6. Now some of the teachers of the law were there sitting there thinking of themselves. Why does this fellow, talking about Jesus, talk like that? He's blaspheming again. He cannot do this. Who can forgive sin but God alone? That's right. And yet God has given us authority to forgive others of their sin. Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit, again, right? Verse 9, which is easier to say? Again, the same thing. Your sin is forgiven. Oh, get up, take up your mat and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. He said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat and walk. He got up, took his mat and walked out in the full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this before. Let me tell you this. You have never seen anything like that before. When God starts to move in your life, you're going to be the same thing. You're going to have the same experience what they have. But now it's not about somebody else, it's about your life. And everybody's going to see it, and everybody say, what? And there's going to be Pharisees around, they say, no, we don't want to say anything. But you can choose now if you want to align with the Pharisees, or you want to align with God. There's a choice to make. Who are the Pharisees? They're all around us. Everywhere. I call them far to see. You're too far. Can't see things. It's all right. I did the same thing. I was excited when the Holy Spirit showed me that. I was jumping up and down. And they can't see, and that's why the Bible said, the blind man need the blind. They both fell in the pit. You don't want to be led by Pharisees. And they think God is blaspheming God. You know, this is a fact, and it still happened today. Even it happened 2,000 years ago, it still happened today. Turn to me to John chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 1 again. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jew. Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool. Obviously, this is a gate that sheep go in and out, which is in Aramaic. It's called Bethesda or Bethsaida, which is surrounding by five colonnades. Here, a great number of crippled, disabled people used to lie down. They're blind, they're lame, they're paralyzed, right? So I want you to be able to see that. Five colonnades. The sheep pool, gate. A lot of people who are sick, all kind of sickness and disease, sitting there, right? Verse 5. One who was there had been an invalid for how many years? How many? 38 years. Sitting on his mat. The mat is probably worn out. 38 years. Look at this. I want you to see the picture here. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time. I mean, if you know someone who's paralyzed for 38 years, it's not good. He asked, what do you want? Do you want to get well? So Jesus found this man. Now, he wanted to help this man. What do you think? You see, this man has no faith, sitting there for 38 years, and now I'm going to make something happen. How many have ever seen somebody in trouble or somebody need help and you want to help? Do you need help? Can I help you? Can I do something for you? Have you ever done that? We all have done it. Right? So Jesus was the same thing. He's a good man. He said, I want to help this guy. 38 years. Verse 7, he said, sir, this the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool. When the water is still, why I am trying to get in, someone else go down ahead of me. Now, the story go back in the Old Testament, where the angel of the Lord come and steer the water, and who's the first one jump in got healed. So everybody's waiting for the water to be steered, so that's what is happening right now. And even it's been mentioned in the Old Testament, it still happened in the New Testament in the time of Jesus. And if, in other words, it means it doesn't matter if it's old or new, it's still going to happen today again. And I want you to remember what he said. No one help me. No one. Right? Remember that. And say, somebody else go down there ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. How many know this is a good thing? Did he say your sin are forgiven? No. He didn't say faith, but he healed this man. At once the man was cured, he picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath day. The healing on the Sabbath day. Again, now what happened on Sabbath? Pharisees came into the picture. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, is this the Sabbath? The law forbid you to carry your mat. My goodness. This man, 38 years, has been sitting, and now you're talking about the Sabbath day. He's healed. He told him, don't get up and walk. Where's the compassion? Where's the understanding? What is going on? Religious mind again. Don't understand. Don't see what God is doing. They come against what God is doing. No matter how They always find a way to. But he replied, the man. The man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat. And they asked him, who is this man? And he said, I don't know who he is. In verse 13, the man who had healed me had no idea who he was, for Jesus had slipped into the crowd. Verse 14, later Jesus found this man at the temple. Same day, a couple of hours later, he found him at the temple. This man is healed, is cured, standing up, he's walking. He don't know who healed him. And then Jesus said to him, verse 14, see, you are well again. Everything is normal again. Business is good again. Family relationship is on the right track. Children is doing well. Your finance is okay. You're doing well. See, have a look. Everything is well again. And then what do you say? Stop sinning. Is that in your Bible? Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Now, is that a suggestion or is that a good warning? It's a good warning. Stop sinning or something worse. I mean, how worse can it get? This guy, 38 years, nobody helped him. And Jesus say, it will get worse. And I'm going to show you something here. The man went away. Guess what he do? He went and found the Pharisees. And he told the Jews, you remember, you were asking me who healed me on Sabbath day. This is not me who did it. This man told me to do it on Sabbath day. And now he's selling his, trading his healing. So many times we trade the things God give to us, we give it for a bowl of soup. And he told the Jews, and verse 16 says this, so because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. I can tell you, I've seen it over and over and over. You want to help someone, and they turn around and they persecute you. If they don't persecute you, they go to tell other people, they badmouth you, they gossip behind your back, they lie about you, they do things like this to you. And this is exactly what this man did to Jesus. I want you to see the big picture here. 38 years, no one helped him. The other guy, they opened the roof, some man and four men bring him down. This guy has people to help him. Not only they help him, they open somebody's house. Would you like that? Somebody come and open the roof? In other words, they would do anything for this man to be healed. The other guy put him in the water. Nobody helped him. It already speaks what kind of person he is. If nobody helped this man for 38 years, there must be something wrong in his attitude already. And sometimes attitude stinks so bad, nobody wants to do anything. And when Jesus come in, want to help. And Jesus said, make sure you don't sin because it's going to get worse. And guess what? He didn't stop. He keep doing the same thing what he's used to do. Again, from the heart come evil thoughts. From the thoughts came action, and action become habits. He's used to it. I can't tell you from the word, but I can probably tell you, even when he was crippled, he was still doing bad things or say negative thing about others. That's why nobody liked him. Nobody wanted to help him. Does that make sense? Now, which one do you want to be? The choice is yours. You can be like this man by the pool, or you can be this man by the open roof. I'm not saying you're paralyzed. I'm not saying this. I'm just saying, which one would you choose in the character? This man has a friend who will do anything for him. Do you have a friend who will do anything for you in life? That's a question. Do you have a friend who will stand with you no matter what? They will stand next to you. They will support you and all this kind of thing. So the question is like, why? Why? Why don't have? So remember when I was talking about 2 weeks ago, I said the message is going to be faith, friend, family, and favor. So today we're going to talk about faith, favor, and friend. Folks, we need to do something in our life to change our circumstances. And sometimes we'll need friend. How do we live with others is very important. How do we talk about people? And you think they don't know. I can talk about them. I'm at my home in my four walls, my ceiling. You think you're kidding yourself? That's the culture, right? How do you do that? Right. It's true. They think everything is permissible. Nobody see what they do. I'm telling you this. You can take this word and go home and think about it. Stop it. Because God see it. You cannot do this anymore. It can get worse. If you don't have friend, you want to make good friend. You want to move in the other direction. You want to start open your heart more. You want to live your life different. That's why it's not how much we know. How many people fight because of what they know? Oh, I know better. No, it's not how much you know. It's like how much compassion and humility you want to receive at the end. You remember I read the scriptures? Finally, brothers and sisters, let us clothe ourselves with compassion and humility. If you live a life with compassion, humility, and truth, you will have friend. You will have good friend around you. People will love you. People will help. Last week we talked about persecuted church. This is a man right now who persecuted Jesus by what he did. Somebody who healed. If God has healed you, changed something in your life, don't think that it's not about, there's no condition of changes. If you go back in the same way you come from, knowing that there's a big possibility you can go in a worse situation. So don't play that game. Life is not a game to play. Don't gamble on that. If you come from a difficult situation, don't play that game anymore. We see people got healed. We see people got touched. We see people's got, I can go on and on, see God move. Again, what I say in the beginning, don't go for hitch hunting in your life. Don't look at all the negative, but listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Do things different. I have a few, but I don't have the time to do this. I'm going to keep it for the next time when I come here. So what do we do now? What do you think God wants to do right now? Pray. Your prayer is pick up your mat and walk. What does your mat represent? What am I been doing all these years on this mat? It's now to ford it. Stop it. And God will open more boundaries. Oh, you need to pray for your heart. Right? Okay? God wants to heal us. You see, God can heal this man's sickness and disease and cripple and lame and blind and everything. But something that God don't heal. He don't heal people from stop sinning. Think about this. God don't pray for someone and that person stop sinning. Sinning is a choice that we make in our life. But I believe God wants to forgive people today. At this right now, this moment. And if you want this forgiveness, you know what that word, what I'm saying, and you know what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, that there's something in your life that's been limited, been crippled, been pressure, been, you know what I'm saying? God wants to break this out. He wants to enlarge your tent. He wants to enlarge your territories. He wants to do better and bigger things for your life. That's what He wants. But after He does that, you need to keep walking with Him. Amen? All right, let's pray. I'm going to make a prayer for all of us. And then those who want personal, individual prayer, it's according to your faith. If you want to come up here and have a little bit more ministry, we want to do that. I'm going to encourage cell leaders to come and join us as well. Thank you, Father God. Father, there's many people here today who listen to the sound of my voice. And Father, I ask, Father, that it's not my message, it's your word, it's your message, it's come from your Holy Spirit. And I ask being obedient to you and listening to what you want me to say and what you want me to talk about today. Father, and now I have released that word to your people today. And those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, Father, will encounter a greater joy, a greater peace, a greater encounter with you. And their life is going to flourish. We're going to go move from favor to favor, from glory to glory. But I pray, Father, those who have not understood this message, I pray for protection over them, Father God. Help them, Father, not to blaspheme anything that has been said by the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, for their life to be protected. I pray, Father, that the enemy will not come and rob and steal and destroy anything that you have given to them. I pray that there be no mockery to your word, to what the Holy Spirit work want to do today in our life. But Father, I pray for all those who have received something today from you, from your Spirit, from your word, that's sharper than two-edged sword. Those who have ears to hear, those who want to see changes take place. Not just a temporary, not a quick fix, but something to sustain, something that will keep going all their life. Father, I pray and I bless each one, Father, to continue to move into that direction, Father. And everyone here, Father, if they have the strength, they have the faith right now to pick up their mat and walk and get up and change their surroundings, change their circumstances, change in their life to come, Father. But we are not bound anymore by territory. We are not bound by a little thing. But there's more what you can do. And Father, I pray that faith will rise up within each one's, Father, in our hearts to rise. And I pray, Father, that you will give them something to do, an action to do, so that their faith will prove it right. I pray, Father, that those who have financial difficulties, God, that you will come. You will heal the finance area in their life. Those who's looking for a job, those who, Father, has a relationship difficulties right now, it's not healed. It's very sensitive. And Father, I pray that healing will come in relationship, in family, in the children, in marriage. Father, you want to see our life circumstances be changed. And many times we have big dreams. We have received so many from you. We know, Father, you have so much, so many things for us in store for us, God. You want to give us more. But Father, only when we step out by faith. I give you thanks, God. I give you praise. I give you praise, God. Father, if there's anyone here today, Father, want their sin to be forgiven, Father, I pray they will have the strength to come up and pick them out and walk. If any one of you today, you say, Pastor, I know that this is for me. I've been struggling in my life. There's limitation, there's boundaries. And if you, I don't want you to feel pressure, but if that's you, I want to pray for you today, this morning. I want to heal that. I want to see God change your life. And that's you. I just want to ask you to just stand up and come up in the front. We'll pray for you as well.